WTRJ The Truth. John MacArthur is also brought to you in part by Ginn and Paetro, PA, a full-service law firm located in St. Augustine, serving all of Northeast Florida. They frequently service clients in the areas of estate planning and wills, probate, and business law. The firm's slogan is based out of Micah 6:8, to seek justice, love mercy, and walk humbly with your God. The office is located just steps from the beach on A1A Beach Boulevard, just south of the St. Augustine Pier. The attorneys can be reached at 461-3000. That's 461-3000. Or you can direct connect to their website under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
On 91.7 FM, we talk about God's good news.
You're listening to The Truth.
Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you jump on board. Join in the dialogue and discussion that we have here on Let's Face the Issues each and every day. We always look forward to your discussion. That telephone number is 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. After a brief monologue, we're going to open our telephone lines and invite you to call in. Join in the discussion. We're going to be talking about today the role of man. Why did God create man? What is man's role in society today? How should we view our world and our society as we see it today in relationship to God's plan for man? What did God create man for? What are we to do today? We've just witnessed somebody call in a fire in the woods. I've forgotten what state it's in, but a forest fire, only to start to assassinate the firemen as they arrived on the job. What would cause that? The Bible is very, very clear in Jeremiah 17:9. The heart is deceitful and wicked above all things, and who can know it? We're witnessing the decline of humanity, in my most humble opinion, and it's because of what we see taking place in the hearts of the lives of men that God has called out to be the head of the home, the head of the church, and the head of our nation. And we're finding that decreasing on a daily basis. Ladies and gentlemen, we're witnessing chaos and confusion across our nation. It might cause us to wonder, what's happening? Why is it taking place? Where will we go as a nation? We can look at the Roman Empire. It was not destroyed from the outside. It imploded from within. And may I simply say, with a little brief parenthetical footnote, I believe it was as a result of the failure on the part of men. And I'm just simply going to say it very honestly, very forthrightly. I do not want to see that happening in America. But we're witnessing a falling away from the local New Testament church. The Bible calls it apostasy. That's what we see happening today. And I am encouraged to think there is potential if we turn back to the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. And let me remind you, as we face the issues, we use the Word of God. It is the tool book. It is the guidebook. In fact, we find in the scripture, Jesus speaking to his disciples in John 8:31-32, the Lord Jesus says, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. Then in John 14:6, Jesus says, I am truth. John 17:17 makes a declaratory statement about the word of God. Thy word is truth. That's the reason I call it the truth book. Psalms 117:2 says, the truth of the Lord endures forever. And I've had folks in the college classes as I teach and lecture on hermeneutics in relationship to the art and science of biblical interpretation. When I use the word forever, they ask the question, how long is forever? It is forever, unending. And may I say to you, that's the truth of the Word of God. But we're in a society today that, according to George Orwell, by the way, the dystopian novel entitled 1984 that Orwell wrote and published, the publication was in the late 40s, 47, 48, 49. The title of it was 1984. And in the novel 1984, Orwell said this, and I quote, "The further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it." And may I say, he was exactly truthful. He was exactly right. But the former U.S. Senator Jim DeMint warns, headline I'm looking at, warns that America's decline is linked to the death of truth. In part, this is what DeMint says. Truth is the core principle of the Judeo-Christian values, which are the foundation of Western civilization. Judeo-Christian values are derived from the Bible, and the Christian church is the only custodian of the Bible. If you want to know the reason for the death of truth in America, look no further than the decline of Bible-based Christianity, end quote. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I couldn't have said it better myself. That summarizes, I believe, the answer to the question, what's happening in America and why are we declining as we are? The death of truth. And as we find, ladies and gentlemen, even carrying that further, it is because of truth not being carried out generation after generation. In fact, I believe it was Reagan, that said, our freedom is only one generation away, the loss of our freedom. And we're finding that taking place even as we speak. And I can use a little parenthetical footnote to that. If you see what's happening in New York City with the socialist, Marxist, communist running for the mayorship, with 42.5% of the election in the primary, that tells you why we're where we are. And I'm looking at a headline that answers the question of how did that come about. This headline reads, "Most younger Americans say there's no such thing as absolute truth." In fact, this survey points out 55% of the millennials say that each person determines his or her own version of truth. Ladies and gentlemen, there's not but one version of truth. A half-truth is a whole lie. And yet we find those today, and a good example, as I started on a moment ago, with the election in the primary for a Marxist, socialist, Islamic jihadist that won the primary election. He's still got a long way to go, but I discovered in the research on that election that his voters were those that were the elite millennials, white elite millennials, that have come out of our prestigious universities and colleges, that have been brainwashed into believing that America's bad, socialism and communism is good, and therefore they've embraced that man that's running for office. That gives us a good example of what's taking place on a national basis that causes me to be concerned about the future of our nation and what we ought to do. I go back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Jan Hus says, and may I quote, "Faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death." I've said a million times in less than 100 years on this broadcast, we need to listen to, learn, live, and be willing to stand and defend the truth even if we're standing alone. I've had too many times down through the years where some folks get all upset because a preacher would talk about political issues, and somehow, some way, there's a mindset that we should be silent and sit back and let society just rot. And I am, ladies and gentlemen, weary with that mindset. I believe that everyone that's listening today, you're a Christian, you're a conservative, you're a patriot, and you're listening because you're concerned about the condition of our nation. We're going to be talking about that today in relationship to the role of man. Why did God create us? What are we here to do? Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape and lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of equipment for the homeowner with brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with the full line of Honda generators. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff They can answer all of your questions about the power backup equipment. The knowledgeable staff at Tools for Time can answer your questions about the homeowner and the professional brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291. That's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. Perhaps you say, how do I find it? There's a benchmark. Tools for Time is located at the intersection of the Beltway of 295 and Old St. Augustine Road, and there's a 165-foot flagpole on the campus of Tools for Time. Atop that flagpole flows Old Glory, the U.S. flag, 24/7. Find that flag and the flagpole, the base of that flagpole. Ladies and gentlemen, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, we must recognize the condition that we're in society today and the world in which we're living in. And I want you to be frightened, I don't want you to be worried, but I want us to be alert and recognize what is happening and know what is happening that we might be able to be salt and light and do something that will be beneficial and a blessing in the world in which we're living. Listen, this is not meant to in any way demean women, but God created man as the head of the home, head of the church, and head of the family. And ladies and gentlemen, in the recent years, we have found our churches are being abandoned. We're finding, ladies and gentlemen, the apostasy, the falling away from our churches. In fact, it was George Barner about 2 years ago said that we've got about 300,000 churches in America across denominational lines. He said within the next 24 months, one out of five will close. Did you know that? One out of five. That means we're having somewhere in the neighborhood of, 1,500, 2,000 churches that's closing across America. We're finding also, ladies and gentlemen, the pastors that have pastored for 30, 40, 50, 60 years are retiring or dying, and we're not finding younger men to step into those pulpits and carry out the task of preaching and teaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Therein lies the problem. So we're going to talk about that today in relationship to the problem. How do we resolve that problem, and what is the recommendation? You've heard me enough, those that are old-time listeners. You've heard me say so many times, if you're a pastor and you're not willing to stand and preach the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ without fear and without favor, I recommend you get a job painting houses or selling cars. Rather than continue with what I call the psychobabble in the pulpit without preaching the full gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm talking about that way, that place where you pick and choose what you want to say because you're afraid you'll hurt the Democrats' feelings in some fashion if you preach something that steps on toes of the rank liberals in our nation today. Ladies and gentlemen, the Word of God calls sin, sin, and I believe it's time we as Christian leaders call sin, sin, and what God's Word says about the resolution for sin. How do you resolve it? How do we make a change? What is the answer to that? I want to just go down a little brief litany of what I find in the Bible that God created man for. Then we're going to introduce our special guest. In fact, let me introduce him now, and then I'll have a little dialogue and discussion about this before we get into the nitty-gritty, as I call it, of his ministry. Ladies and gentlemen, we're delighted today to have the privilege to have with us today a very special guest, Brother William Dodge. We're going to call him Bill. That's better for me. Brother William Dodge, he's with us today. Brother Dodge leads the ministry for men. The title of the ministry is Man in the Mirror. Welcome to Let's Face the Issues today, Brother Bill. God bless you, and thank you for taking time to be with us.
Thank you for having me on, Dr. Youngblood.
I want you to take a few moments, since this is brand new. Perhaps some of our listeners have heard, some of them may not. Most of our listeners may not even know what we're talking about. So I want us to do a little, clean up with that so that they'll understand. Take a moment and tell us something about your background, your testimony, then we'll talk about your ministry.
Certainly. 1977, I was in a church. I had made a bunch of relational decisions that weren't the best in the world, and I was in this church, and 18 men took me aside, and I joined them in a Bible study, and we were studying the Gospels. That was in September, and by the time April hit, we were in the Gospel of John. And on Easter Sunday, April 10th, 1977, at 11:30 in the morning, I saw Jesus. I didn't see him physically, but I saw him. I saw the holiness of God, and I saw my sin.
Amen.
And it brought me to a place of repentance.
Amen.
And I've been walking with him for the last 48 years. Mm-hmm. And then I had a 45-year career with NCR Corporation, used to be National Cash Register, as you may remember it. And when I retired, I said, "Here I am, Lord, send me." I started working with another gentleman in a discipleship ministry called In Christ Ministries, where we studied Greg Ogden's book, Discipleship Essentials, which you may have read. And it was about small groups, three or four men getting together and discipling each other. It took about a year to go through it. And I was teaching discipleship with the Assemblies of God down in Lakeland once a year at their experience conference. Somebody from Man in the Mirror heard me teaching, and they called me and started pursuing me. And I kept saying no. And finally, I wrote Man in the Mirror at the top of my Bible, and I called them, and here I am 9 years later working in the ministry of Man in the Mirror.
Amen. Well, I'm delighted to have you today. By the way, I must do this. It's a few months back. My wife and I were having a Sunday afternoon lunch at the Waffle House over in San Jose, and that's where we met. Ladies and gentlemen, he and his bride were in the booth behind us, and I don't know if he overheard the conversation and decided he needed to intervene to help me. I don't know, but I was delighted to meet him there. In fact, he was so gracious, he even bought my lunch that day. And that's the meeting that we had, Brother Bill, and I'm thankful for it. Thankful for your sweet spirit and your desire to serve the Lord and to mentor men. That, I believe, is a blessing, and I believe it's needed today, perhaps more than ever any time in the history of the American church. I believe our men need to understand why God created us as men, what God's ideal plan for us as men, and what we're doing, as I would simply call it in the young blood vernacular, we're off track from where we need to be in our nation today. And I believe it's primarily because of going back to the door of the church and what we've not done that is the source of the problem today in our nation. That's just my opinion. We'll talk about it. I'm going to cover two or three things, Brother Bill, and get your take on it before we get into the nitty-gritty of what you're doing. And by the way, I believe we have a caller on the line. Go ahead with your question or comment, please.
Yes, Dr. Youngblood.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning. Yeah, I think that was Idaho.
Yes, you're right. You're right with the firemen, yes.
Yes, and we were created to praise the Lord. We were created to give Him glory, and we have fallen away. And this country, I pray to God that it doesn't happen, but these next people that's coming up, these supposed to be educated, I call it educated idiots, if they get into power, America is going to be in trouble.
Brother, you're exactly right. If I can just put a little footnote to that statement, it's not if they get in power, but you can look at the power that they have. We have AOC, which is the bastion of brains, if you will, that's in the U.S. House of Representatives today. And if we have, if we can just take that and multiply it across the nation, with so many that's in the, as aldermen in our cities, some as city councilmen, some as mayors, et cetera, et cetera, and look at that as a broad picture, we understand the condition that we're in. We understand the problem. And the major condition, the major problem is the heart of man is wicked, deceitfully so, and who can know it? Jeremiah 17:9 tells us. We're in a state, a condition in America today where we have a fallen sin nature that's taking prominence rather than the Christian conservatives, the patriots, taking a stand for leadership in our nation. But we thank you for your call. You're right on, spot on with your observation. We need to keep praying and asking God to give wisdom. And my prayer is each and every day that we will be salt and light. Jesus didn't say, "I would sure like for you to be salt and light. I recommend that you're salt and light." He said, "Ye are salt and light." So therefore, we're failing and faltering because we're disobedient to who we are in Christ Jesus today. So thank you so much for your call, and God bless you as we keep looking up. Brother Bill, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking Brother Bill Dodge. He is the leader director for Man in the Mirror Ministries, which is a ministry that's designed to come alongside men and mentor men and get men to recognize our responsibility to God. Brother Bill, I've just got a little brief, not exhaustive list, but a few that we'll talk about in relationship to who we are as men. God created man to work.
Absolutely. To work. That's the first thing he told him to do in the garden.
That's right. Genesis 2:5. That was the very first charge, was to work. Secondly, God created man to be courageous. Joshua chapter 1, verse 9. To be courageous.
Yes.
And we're finding today a lack of work for men and a lack of being courageous. If I could just simply summarize it in that fashion. Thirdly, God created man to be strong. We are to act like men and be strong, 1 Corinthians 16:13 tells us. God created man to love the Lord with all of his heart, Matthew 22:37 and following. And if I could just pause there and say, if I didn't go any further with this summarization of what God created man for, God created man in his image, God created us to work, to be courageous, and to be strong, and to love the Lord with all of our hearts. Now, if I didn't go any further than that, Brother Bill, today, we faltered and we've fallen, we failed just in those areas.
Yes.
If nothing else. I believe we have a caller on the line. Brother Davis, go ahead with the call, please.
You just about stole my thunder, sir. God created man. That was the last thing God created. He created everything else but man, and he created him on the sixth day. And he said, in our likeness and our image, and he also gave us the ability to reproduce, and we were to give honor and glory to him. I don't know. Maybe some of the other creations could talk. Satan's the only one that we know. The serpent could talk. I don't know about cows and horses and goats, but they could not give the praise that God deserves. So he created man in his image so that when we reproduced, we would have more people to give honor and glory and praise to God.
Brother, you're right on target. That's exactly. If we could take this entire broadcast today and summarize it, what you've just said is the summarization of what we want our listeners to understand and to grasp today. And the takeaway is to what we're answering the question: why are we here? What are we doing here? Where are we going? And what are we going to leave behind as a legacy in this old world? Brother Davis, thank you so much, and God bless you. Keep looking up. Brother Bill, ladies and gentlemen, again, we're talking with Brother William Dodge. He is the director of Man in the Mirror here in the Jacksonville area. Brother Bill, let me ask you a question. Tell our listeners just a little summarization of what this ministry, Man in the Ministry, Man in the Mirror, what's it about? What do you do?
Well, we're primarily a ministry to the church for men's discipleship. Let's put it this way. Our vision is to see every church disciple every man. Mm-hmm. Right now, the church is not discipling. They're not discipling much at all. So we help the church pastor and the leaders provide a discipleship pathway for every single man in the church. And we've done that by coming up with a strategy we call No Man Left Behind, kind of like the Marines. We don't leave anybody behind.
Amen.
So, I mean, the average church today, they have a men's breakfast. If they have 100 men, they get 14 or 15 that show up. And what do we do with the others? We leave them out. We leave them aside. So we teach the church how to reach all of the men, to make it an all-inclusive ministry to men, not just men's ministry, something you join, but ministry to the men of the church.
Man, there's a vast difference in that.
Yes.
I mean, you've got the men's fish club, prayer club, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
But most of the time, as you said, and it's so spot on to what you're saying, because I've seen it less than 100 years now, I've seen it over and over and over replayed, where you've got 2 dozen men, 3 dozen men, or a dozen men, and you find 1 or 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 dozen that will show up for anything that's called discipleship or training. Now, I must ask this, because it's heavy on my heart. If we're having a program to disciple men, and we know that men need to be discipled, it's very evident in the activity or the lack thereof, and the commitment. And if I could say this without it sounding like I'm demeaning and denigrating men that's listening, most men will say, as one told me several years ago, my wife's got enough religion for all of us, I don't have to go. There are a lot of men that have that feeling. So if a man doesn't want to be mentored, if he doesn't want to be discipled, if he doesn't want to learn more and walk with the Lord and be more committed, how do you do that? What do you do?
Well, first of all, do you know your men? Mm-hmm. We see 5 types of men in the church. We see the men who need Christ, which are me, me, me. Mm-hmm. We see the men who are cultural Christians. They've come to know the Lord, but they're still first, me and then God. And then there's an advancement to a biblical Christian who is God and me. He now puts God first. And then we see the servant leader. The servant leader has come to the place where it's God and others. And, of course, across that can be hurting men. It can be any one of those men going through a divorce, son's got opioid problems, whatever it may be. Well, if you don't know those men, how are you going to reach them? Mm-hmm. You have to know what each one of those types of men want, and then you can give them what they need in the context of what they want. For example, a man who doesn't know Christ doesn't want to go do an exhaustive study of Joshua.
That's right.
He might want to play softball. Mm-hmm. So if you have a church softball team, you have 9 people on the softball team. That's a small group. You can disciple him right there on the softball team and lead him to Christ. Like I said, when I first came to Christ, I ended up in a Bible study. Well, it took several months for me to really hear and the Holy Spirit to put the Word of God in my heart and me to come to a place where I believed. And then I didn't leave. These men continued to disciple me and bring me on till I came to maturity. And I ended up living with a pastor for 3 years who was my mentor. And so that's one of the ways we do it.
Amen. Well, I'm delighted to hear that. I believe we have a caller on the line. Terry, go ahead with your question or comment, please.
I want to thank both of you and also for the program today. And I think it is such a wonderful idea that's anointed, and it's good. I wanted to know, do you have a place where, like, a study where here in Jacksonville, Florida, or also to literature that can be sent out for a man to read as he read his Bible?
Terry, that's a very good question, and I'm going to toss that over to Brother Bill. I think he has an answer for that.
Sure. We have a website. It's called maninthemirror.org, and you can learn all us about us out there. We have blogs out there. We have podcasts out there. We have some literature out there. Primarily what you do with me is I work with the church. I'll come alongside your men's leadership team, and we hold a No Man Left Behind seminar. We'll look at your mindset. We'll give you the model for how to reach all the men, and then we'll give you the methods to do that. One of the things that I suggest any man read is the book Man in the Mirror. Man in the Mirror talks about the rat race. Men are all in a rat race. They work, and then they try to balance their home life. And the other thing that it talks about immediately in Pat Morley's book Man in the Mirror is a wonderful read. It talks about the unexamined life. Most men have never examined their life in the light of the Scriptures or let the Holy Spirit search them and know them.
Absolutely. Terry, does that answer your question?
Okay, awesome. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you so much.
I'm going to use it. I'm going to use it too.
That sounds good.
Yeah, and the Man in the Mirror book is on Amazon.
Thank you.
Thank you, and God bless you. Have a blessed day. Brother Bill, and further thought in relationship to, as I've just created a kind of a list for talking point about why God created us as men. I said just a moment ago, He created a man to work, man to be courageous, man to be strong, for man to love the Lord with all of his heart. God created man to love the wife, the family, the kids, and the home. God created man to serve the Lord sacrificially, the Scripture says. And God created man to become a father and to train up our children in the Lord. So my question is, and it's born out of that, if the father has the responsibility, if the man has the responsibility to train the sons and daughters in the home, how can that be done lest he is properly mentored himself in the Word and begins to love the Lord, love the Word, and want to continue that Word? I'm looking at and considered in Deuteronomy, the 6th chapter, "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, that they shall walk, shall talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up." That is a perpetual, constant, continual teaching, and it's the father's, the dad's, the husband, the man's responsibility. Is that right?
Yes, it is. Absolutely. Excuse me. We just did a Dad's Make a Difference conference up in St. Mary's this past week, Saturday. We had probably 60 men there, and we covered what it meant to be a father, what it meant to be a grandfather, how you have, you're supposed to have, give a legacy to your children of leading them to Christ and mentoring them to the Christ, so that legacy continues from generation to generation to generation. You and I probably won't know our grandsons' sons That's or right. daughters. So unless we teach them how to raise their children in the